Good morning. We are in our series called Confidence, where we are looking at the foundations of our Christian faith that bring us assurance. Andrew talked about having confidence in the word. Charlie talked about having confidence in the cross. And today we are looking at having confidence in the resurrection. Autumn is one of my favorite times of year. I love the colors and the transformation in the landscape. It's so beautiful. And although we're nearing the end of fall, one of the most important events in this season is that of harvest. A harvest is the end of a process that began with the sowing of seeds. Now, a wheat seed, for example, if left in a storehouse, would remain a seed for years to come. Now, if that same seed is buried in the ground, it will die. However, under the right conditions, it will undergo an amazing transformation. The protective outer shell breaks off to reveal a tender living thing inside. That seed, that little seedling, grows roots until it is strong enough to break through the surface of the dirt and tiny leaves appear. Now, if given time and protection, that seedling will grow to maturity until at the harvest, it is all collected. Now, from the harvest, some seeds are set aside for the next year, and the whole cycle repeats itself again. From death comes life. It's amazing. And Jesus used this image to talk about himself and his death. And we find it in John 12. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." Jesus was explaining to his disciples that it would be through death that he would enter into his glory. His death would not be the end. It would be the avenue by which he would bring about the beginning of a whole new creation. The resurrection is the event in history where one man, Jesus of Nazareth, after having died on a cross and been buried in a tomb, rose again to life on the third day through the power of the Holy Spirit. He faced death, went through death, and overcame death. Now, Jesus' resurrected body and life was the same but different. He was recognizable but sometimes not. He ate food, people could touch him. And he was physical, but he also could mysteriously appear and disappear. And when the disciples came into contact with the risen Jesus, the effect was so powerful that the way they saw the world was transformed. Instead of fearing for their lives, they were filled with an unshakable hope. Then Jesus ascended into heaven and was seated at God's right hand, with all authority and power to rule as God's king. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came on Jesus' followers in power, and the good news of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection spread like wildfire. Theologian Michael Byrd says, "Christianity began as a resurrection movement. Everywhere you look, in their theology, in their ethics, in their beliefs and hopes, you find the resurrection." For the early church, the truth of the resurrection affected everything. It was the catalyst for the spreading of the good news and for the growth of the church. It's the reason that even now the church is still growing from a tiny group of followers 2,000 years ago. The resurrection is the reason 2.3 billion people now claim Jesus as their king. But have you ever stopped to consider what a fantastic claim it is to say that one man died and was raised to life after 3 days? And what about the claim that the same resurrection will happen to the bodies of those who devote themselves to this man? Our culture treats these claims with so much skepticism. But the same was true for the cultures the apostles preached in. And in fact, some of the early churches had false ideas circulating around to try and explain away the resurrection. One belief said the material physical world was evil and the spiritual realm was good, and the ultimate hope was to be liberated from the body to escape into the spiritual realm. And they argued that Jesus was raised to life, but that his body remained in the grave. They denied a literal physical resurrection of the dead and said that the hope for a believer was to join Jesus in the spirit realm. Now, even today, this idea echoes through Christian thought. We tend to separate our lives into the physical and the spiritual. We say things like, this world is not my home. And a lot of Christian imagery of heaven shows people as spirits in the clouds with halos and harps. Paul challenged these errors about the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15. But tell me this, since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you saying that there will be no resurrection of the dead? For if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless and your faith is useless, and you are still guilty in your sins. And in that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. Without the resurrection, we have no faith to speak of. We're essentially suckers. Without the resurrection, there's no savior and no forgiveness of sins. Without the resurrection, we are just playing religious games, and Christianity is just one more self-help program. New Testament scholar Esau Macaulay puts it like this: if Christianity is mere method, a way of approaching reality, then it is inadequate. But if Christ is risen, trampling down death by death, then the world is a different place. The resurrection isn't simply an Easter sermon topic. It's the beginning of a brand new world. It gives us a sure hope that God has acted in Jesus to renew the world, beginning by renewing us. It's through the resurrection that God is restoring his purposes for us. God always wanted humans to be his faithful representatives, representative rulers on the earth, under his love and wisdom. But Adam and Eve rebelled and brought a curse of sin and death upon all creation. God promised that one day a descendant of Eve would destroy sin and death. This descendant would come through the people of Israel. God would bless him so that they would bless the whole world. He gave them their own land and raised up anointed kings like David, who were to represent God's rule and justice and restore God's purposes for the world. But just like Adam and Eve, they chose their own ways over God's. Israel's prophets spoke of a future descendant of David, a Messiah who would be that faithful representative that the world needed. This Messiah would be victorious over all evil and wickedness, uniting all humanity together and bringing about a new creation where he would rule forever with God's people. However, Israel's rebellion meant that they suffered many years under the rule of foreign powers, eventually finding themselves under Roman rule. They longed for the Messiah to come and liberate them from their enemies. Then Jesus arrived on the scene, and many people believed that he was this long-promised Messiah. He preached the good news that they were waiting for. God's kingdom had arrived, and he confirmed this claim with many miraculous signs. But Jewish leaders conspired with Roman authorities to kill him, claiming without proof that he was a blasphemer and the leader of a potential uprising. When Jesus was crucified, the hopes of the disciples seemed utterly lost. The Messiah was supposed to defeat their enemies, not be killed by them. But Jesus rose again, and his resurrection stood as a vindication and proof that he was the long-awaited Messiah. No one could defeat him. not the religious leaders, not the Roman authorities, not the powers of sin and death. Jesus was inaugurated as the victorious King of Kings with all power and authority. Paul puts it like this in Ephesians 1. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. For the apostles, the resurrection established Jesus' victory and authority over every human and spiritual power that brings destruction and evil to the world. They believed that he was the anointed king, restoring God's kingdom rule in the earth one life at a time. They believed that he was liberating, restoring, and reuniting all things to God, and one day he would return to bring God's kingdom rule to its completion. This is why they no longer feared death and boldly proclaimed the good news wherever they went. So what about us? Well, if the resurrection is true and Jesus is God's saving King, as the apostles believed, then we ought to give allegiance to him. The powers of the present age have been defeated by his death and resurrection. Pledging ourselves to King Jesus means that we become citizens of the new world that he's bringing about, and his power does something wonderful in and through us. Paul says again in Ephesians 1, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Those who believe in Jesus, the King, receive power. Now, this power isn't an impersonal force, but it's the Holy Spirit himself. Jesus lived his life in the power of the Spirit, and he rose again to life by the power of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit given to us is a down payment, a guarantee that we belong to the kingdom of God, and that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to us. Remember Jesus' parable of him dying like a grain of wheat? Well, Paul uses the same metaphor to talk about the resurrection of our bodies after we die. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 42 through 44, it says this. This image of planting a dead seed and raising a live plant is a mere sketch at best. But perhaps it will help in approaching the mystery of the resurrection body. But only if you keep in mind that when we're raised for good, alive forever. The corpse that's planted is no beauty, but when it's raised, it's glorious. Put in the ground weak, it comes up powerful. The seed sown is natural. The seed grown is supernatural. Same seed, same body. But what a difference from when it goes down in physical mortality to when it's raised up in spiritual immortality. Wow, that is such a powerful image. Even though we will all experience death, Jesus' resurrection shows us that those who trust in him will be resurrected in glory just like he was. And in Romans 8, Paul says this, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Paul says that the same power of the Spirit that resurrected Jesus' body will one day resurrect our bodies. What happened to him will happen to us. We are destined for the new world God is making. So Paul says, while we wait on the resurrection of our bodies, we ought to follow the leading of the Spirit and live now in the reality of God's new world. Through Jesus, the kingdom of God has broken in and is advancing. Why would we live by the pattern of a world that is on its way out when God has made us citizens of his new world that is on the way in? And Jesus says in John 12, verse 25, those who love their life in the world will lose it. Those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. And Jesus says that we can confidently let go of and die to our old way of life so that the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit can bring forth new life in us. This changes the way we live now. All of the many instructions in the New Testament about how we are to live in this world and in relation to others are all based on this idea. Live resurrection lives now. We aren't waiting for Jesus' return. God's kingdom is here now. So live now as citizens of that kingdom with the Spirit empowering you. Now, what are the fruits of this resurrected life? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. As we are personally changed by this resurrection life, we will share it with the broken world around us. We want the world to look the way God wants it to be. We pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then we look for the places that God's kingdom is breaking into our world now. We believe Jesus' resurrection is making all things new. So our hearts will hurt for the things that aren't right. And just like the apostles, we want everyone to experience the new life that God brings and have the same hope for the future that we have. Rather than hiding ourselves away, the reality of the resurrection pushes us into a hurting world to declare and to demonstrate the good news of Jesus and his resurrection. Now, what God's kingdom offers is not just spiritual well-being. His kingdom is invading into our present physical reality through us, the church. We care for the poor. We help set captives free. We pray and God heals the sick. We proclaim the gospel that breaks the power of sin. We seek reconciliation between those of different gender, race, and socioeconomic status. Where there is tension and division, God uses us to bring his peace and unity. Where there is fear, God uses us to bring his love. Where evil powers once dominated, we proclaim that Jesus has the victory and we watch as his power prevails. This is all because of the resurrection. But what do we do when our lives don't seem to reflect that victory that Jesus won for us with his resurrection? Because we are still living in the present age, we will experience suffering. God's kingdom is advancing, but has not yet come fully. Romans 8 was written to Christians suffering persecution, famine, and hardship. But Paul says, I consider that our present sufferings cannot compare to the glory that will be revealed to us. Jesus' resurrection gives us confidence that our present circumstances, our physical condition, the state of the world, even death itself, can't control, redefine, or take away our hope. The glory of what's coming in the future far outweighs the sufferings that we are experiencing in this present moment. Jesus saw the suffering in the world, and he experienced hardship and the agony of death. But his resurrection is our sign of victory. He strengthens us in our weakness through the Spirit and walks with us through our suffering. Whatever you're experiencing, it is not the end. The resurrection pushes us forward with hope to endure. Later in Romans 8, we read this encouragement. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Messiah, Jesus our Lord. Did you catch that? Paul said, in all these things, not when your circumstances change for the better or when all your prayers are answered. In all these things, Jesus has made you more than a conqueror. Even our worst enemy, death, has now lost its power over us. The only thing it can do is reunite us with Jesus. We can live secure that Jesus' life and his love for us are more powerful than any darkness that we face. Even when we're hurting, the resurrection teaches us that we can persevere. We can wait and work with hope that one day everything will be put right. We will be made new. We will see God's will done fully on the earth as it is in heaven. Jesus' resurrection has shown us in the middle of history what God has waiting for us at the end of history. Isn't that amazing? Have you ever thought about what we will do when Jesus returns and brings about his kingdom? Remember, we aren't going to be sitting with harps and singing for all eternity. Sorry. We will be working in God's kingdom. We will have our title as vice regents fully restored so that we can rule on the earth the way that we're supposed to. Our rule won't look like the long line of failed examples we have in history. Our rule will look like Jesus because we will finally be made like him in spirit and in body. That's why it matters that we live resurrection lives now. Galatians 6 says, whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. The way we live now will sow a harvest that we will reap in the resurrection. But we don't do this in our own strength. The Spirit enables us to let go of what won't last. It's like the outer shell of the seed. As long as it stays on, new life can't grow. But if we build our lives on what is imperishable, we are building on the firm and sure hope that Jesus, the resurrected King, is coming again to make all things new. We are citizens of a kingdom that lasts, living a life that will be able to withstand all eternity. Every time we pray for others and see signs and miracles, it's proof that God's kingdom is here right now. Every time we see the Spirit working within us to make us more like Jesus, it's evidence that the resurrection life is inside us. Every time we see God's love triumph over hate and evil powers in this world, it's evidence that Jesus' authority and power is greater. To be a citizen of God's kingdom is to live as proof and evidence to others that Jesus is the risen King. People can see by the way we live that this is true. The resurrection of Jesus gives us a boldness to partner with God to see his kingdom advance in our world. And we can do this without fear, without trying to protect or hold on to our own comfort or security. The resurrection isn't just an annual celebration or an isolated event in history. It is the world-shattering event that started a revolution and announced that God's future kingdom had broken in to transform and change our world now. The resurrected body of Jesus was the foundation for the apostles' mission and gave them an incredible boldness and confidence. I believe that Jesus wants us to share in that kingdom mission and live with the confidence and promise that his resurrection gives to us. I just wanted to do something a little bit different for ministry time. As I was preparing this message, I was reading from Revelation, and these words just, they were stirring in me, and I wanted to share them with you. And one thing I think important to just remember about Revelation is it's this glorious future that's written about, but it was given to people in their present reality, so much like where we are right now. And so I just pray that these words would just stir up hope and life in you. And I'm reading from Revelation 21. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who is seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children." It's just such beautiful words of hope. And so for anyone today who is feeling broken, who's feeling that they need tears wiped away from their eyes, if anyone who's feeling they need to be made new, anyone who's feeling thirsty or who needs encouragement to keep going, these words are for you, and they are words from Jesus himself. And so I just invite you to put out your hands and receive from the Lord today. I'm just going to pray for us. God, I just thank you for your resurrection. We thank you for what you won for us. Thank you that you are making all things new, and that you are our God, and you are with us forever. We thank you that where there's brokenness, Lord, in our lives, the Spirit is ready to make us new again. Where there's despair, I thank you that the Spirit is ready to be the comforter who wipes every tear from our eyes. For those who are thirsty, I thank you that you have given us water. You've given us life. And it is available to us right now. We just have to receive. And so I pray, God, come to and be with us today. In Jesus' name, amen.